Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Into the final hour here of Darren Donick and Chase. ESPN 102.5 The Game here in Nashville. Willie Donick, Chase McCabe, and Marquise Munson here with you. As we promised you earlier, we're going to talk a little hoops here. We'll hit hockey later in the hour. Still on the watch to see if today might be the day that they would announce the host cities, the two hubs, if you will, as they try to work towards continuation of play, but obviously every sport going through their own hurdles and struggles trying to get there. Basketball, no exception. We talked to Kurt Heelan, who is the lead NBA writer, managing editor, NBCSports.com, covering the league. And Kurt, we thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
So Kurt, you know, just the first couple of things that that you've hit on today, I see on your Twitter feed, the Nuggets have closed their facility in the wake of some positive tests, and the Pelicans have had three players test positive today. So every team going through this challenge to try to get this thing off the ground, if you can get everybody in the bubble. But so how do you interpret these stories that we've seen today in terms of, you know, trying to get to where they want to go?
Turns out it's hard to create a bubble, guys. I think that's really at the heart of this. The league, the NBA, built in time in this. I mean, when they came out, people were like, "Why are they not playing till the end of July? Why all this ramp up? Why all this time?" This is why. They knew there would be positive tests. I think what's more concerning for them is that, you know, in the case of one of the teams you didn't mention, Brooklyn had two guys test positive. Both of whom got to Brooklyn for these workouts and were fine and then tested positive in the facility. Now that's happened in Denver. It's happened in New Orleans, which, you know, means somebody was able to bring it into the facility. That just makes it harder. Now these guys have got to be quarantined for a while. It just makes the whole thing harder. But if you talk to the league, they kind of expected some of this, and their theory is if we did this early enough and got the guys and got treatment, by the time we get to Orlando and really create the bubble, we'll be fine. We'll be able to create something where these guys stay, you know, where guys can, once we get it going, once we get everything into Orlando, everything will be fine. I'm not sure I completely buy that, but that's the kind of the theory is it's better to catch it now than later.
Right. And so I guess that's where I was going is how do you interpret this? Because it's easy when you see, ooh, you know, three players on a roster that, I don't know, I guess there's expanded roster. Let's just say there's 15 or 20 players. How in our mind do we process that? How does the league process that, more importantly, as opposed to what they expected to happen?
I think this is still within their range of expectations. It's not ideal, and you know, I think part of it, and this is, this will be true with the NHL, this will be true in baseball, but I think it's particularly true with the way the NBA is built. Who tested positive? This is a star-driven league, and it's very different if Russell Westbrook or James Harden or, you know, LeBron or Kawhi or somebody like that tests positive than if it is three role players. So, you know, three Pelicans tested positive, that could be something the league will shrug off, or it could be Zion Williamson and it's not that funny. You know, like, I don't want to say it's not funny, because it's not really funny anyway, but it's not like, it's a different level of concern for the league in terms of being able to pull this off and getting people to watch. So we'll see how it goes. What I keep hearing is they're moving ahead. They expected this. This is all within the realm of possibility. But when you see spiking, you know, look, a bunch of the markets the teams are in, including the market around Orlando, is spiking with cases. It's a concern.
So, at what do you think that the NBA behind closed doors, they have a it's this number of players, or all kidding aside, if LeBron comes out and says, I think Patrick Beverley said, LeBron say we hooping, so we hooping. If he says we're not hooping, Does the NBA have that moment where they go, yep, this isn't going to work, we're going to have to bail?
Yeah, it would actually – LeBron would be part of that. Chris Paul, who's the president of the Players Union, but also just a really vocal, respected guy, would be a part of – like Adam Silver has done a really good job of inclusion here with, like, this has been a group decision as much as it's going – you know, ultimately it's going to land on his head, but he's tried to make it group. And that said, they are really protective of that number. Let me just say publicly and privately, no, you are not getting any kind of, like, they're not going to tell you what the line in the sand is because they don't want to be locked into it. And they want to be, you know, able to shift depending on what's going on. But there does have to be. There does have to come a point where you're like, you know, we've now got between injuries and guys not going, we could have six Brooklyn Nets out. Like, it's just, at what point, I think they're up to five or six guys who may or may, you know, Spencer Dinwiddie may still go, but who, due to injury or now COVID, are just not going. That's a lot of guys. That's just,
right.
That's, you're starting to really cut into, and, you know, okay, great. They can bring in the two-way players and free agents, man. If that's great, even the Lakers can bring in J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith was available for a reason. Like, if there's a free agent on the market in the middle of the NBA season, probably not an accident that guy's available right now. If he was really good, he wouldn't be. So you're not replacing these guys with like talent levels, and it could impact the level of play.
Yeah, and that leads me into my next question, the level of play. I mean, sure, you could have that story of a guy that was on the G League or a free agent like J.R. Smith that comes in and just he's fresh and just balls out and becomes that, oh, there we go, the return to play story, let's watch this guy. But the odds of that happening, in my opinion, aren't very high, and that's not what the NBA wants. I mean, there are conspiracy theories out there that New Orleans is a part of this because they want Zion in the playoffs because of the star power that Zion has, and I get that. It's because it's a made-for-TV return-to-play event.
It's not a conspiracy theory. Like, whatever the cutoff line for getting in was, it was going to be below Zion's team. I guarantee you. That was a serious consideration, and it's one of the reasons they went with what they did. I mean, part of it is that again, it got them regular season games. This was the balance of, you know, safety with making the most money and getting in the most games, which was, you know, look, this is where the NHL is. This is where Major League Baseball is. The financial ramifications of not playing are so severe that I wouldn't call the enthusiasm level of NBA players outside of the handful of teams that are seriously competitive for a title. The enthusiasm level for doing this among players is mixed at best. Like, there's not like, oh good, I get to be away from my family for 50 days. There's not a ton of excitement about that and doing this, but they realize if they don't, what happens on the back end financially, and that's going to get them all, or not all, but most of the players there. So the level of play is going to be interesting, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens when, by the way, look, I don't know, let's take Portland. Pretty good team. They've got Damian Lillard. They've got CJ McCollum. They've got some stars. What happens if they lose a couple early and they stumble a little, and with three of their eight games left, they're just kind of out of it? I'm not playing CJ and Dame anymore, right? Like, it is suddenly like, I want to see the young kids. There's going to be some ugly games on the back end of the schedule.
We're talking to Kurt Heeling. He does great work for NBC Sports. And I kind of want to go back to the Nets for a second, because obviously if they lose Spencer Dinwiddie, then you're kind of just left with Jared Allen, and that's kind of your best player on the team right there. And they're a 7 seed right now. I'm of the belief that, you know, going into this bubble, I thought that the 8-9 seed play-in tournament was going to happen in the West, but now I'm starting to look at, with what the Nets don't have on their roster, that we can possibly see one in the East as well, with the Nets and the Wizards possibly.
Yeah, exactly. I think the Magic, who are only half a game back of Brooklyn, probably passed them. They're a healthy team outside. Well, they're minus a, you know, Jonathan Isaac, who they lost for the season and stuff, who's a young star rising for them, but they still got Aaron Gordon and Nikola Vucevic and guys who can really help them. So I expect that they'll move up to the 7th seed, and so they can get, you know, look, that's actually a good move too. Like, you would like to have, well, not that Toronto or Boston aren't good, but you really don't want Giannis and the Bucks in the first round when they feel they've got something to prove. They're just, whoever gets the Bucks in the first round gets smacked around. The only problem with somebody doing that, by the way, in the East, Washington sucks.
They do.
They've got Bradley Beal, and their second best player, Davis Bertans, is staying home because he's a free agent, and he's about to get a ballpark 3-year, $50 million deal, and he's already done both ACLs, and he's like, you know what? I'm good. I'm going to wait this thing out. And the team understands that. He's been up front with them from the start. Everybody's saying all the right things publicly, but he's like, you know what? No, I'm good. I'm not going to risk my payday for this because we're probably not going anywhere. And I don't know if they've got the talent. I just don't know if they have the talent to win enough games to get within. They have to be within 4 games, and they have to make up a game and a half on Brooklyn, or 2 games on Brooklyn in 8 games. And I don't know if they've got the talent to do that.
Yeah, for people who don't watch NBA basketball a lot, I don't want your first experience to be Joe Harris versus Bradley Beal. No offense to Bradley Beal, but he's great. But yeah, it's not a good first round matchup. But
no. Look, they're spreading the games out over the course of the day. They're going to have 4 games a day, and they're going to start at like 1 Eastern and run through 9 Eastern are the late starts, and you'll get the Lakers and the Clippers and your West Coast teams in that slot. There's some dud slots in the middle of the day. Yeah, that's where you're going to see the Wizards, the Nets, and some of these teams. That's the equivalent of burying them in the schedule somewhere. There's going to be a few of those.
But sticking to that play-in tournament format, I'm going to shift over to the West because I see this as a 3-team race between the Grizzlies, the Pelicans, and the Blazers to get that 8 seed in that final slot. Obviously, we want the Memphis Grizzlies because we're in Tennessee here and we're rooting for Ja Morant, but they have the toughest schedule out of this whole schedule. While you look at the Pelicans, they have the easiest. So when it's all said and done, and you also have the veterans and the experience that the Blazers have, so when it's all said and done, well, who do you think is going to get that 8 seed?
I think it's going to be a play-in tournament between Memphis and New Orleans. Portland's is another team with a really tough schedule the rest of the way, and they do have. I don't like betting against Damian Lillard. That guy's just clutch. He's honestly probably my favorite player to watch play in the league. I don't think he's the best player, but if I'm going to pay money to watch a guy, Damian Lillard's just fun. But Damian Lillard is just walking entertainment. Like, that guy is just hustles and makes plays and knocks down long threes and is clutch. And yeah. So all that said, I like Portland. I like New Orleans with the soft schedule to be able to get into the 9 seed. I don't know if they actually catch Memphis. And they have that play-in. They have that 2-game play-in. Memphis just has to win one of the two. And I think they can do that. Young and scrappy as they are, I think that it's just tough to beat a team. It's the same in football. It's the same in every sport. You got to beat the same team twice in a row. That's really hard. I love Jaren Jackson Jr. I think they've got enough vets. I think Memphis squeaks into that 8 seed, and that's good for the team, man. This is the good kind of playoff experience for those young guys. Even if you make it and you go up against the Lakers in the first round and they just, LeBron just crushes you, hey, that's a good experience. That's a good learning experience for a young team to see what it's going to take and what playoff ball feels like. So I lean towards Memphis holding on to this, but I think New Orleans is the team to watch just because they've got such a soft schedule the rest of the way in. I think they can get into the play-in.
Yeah, I think for the NBA's sake, they would love to see a first-round matchup between Zion versus LeBron James. I think that's money.
Not only Zion versus LeBron, remember all those guys they just traded for.
Absolutely.
Anthony Davis. The Anthony Davis switch, then Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram and stuff. Yes, the suits at ABC TNT really want that. I'm not sure if it comes together. I think Memphis is good enough to hold it off.
And one more thing from me, especially something that's going on in the bubble, reports were that, the NBA was planning on having the Black Lives Matter on the sideline. And, there's been this talk and this conversation of, the NBA withholding their season for a little bit to focus on their social justice issues. But I always seen the NBA as kind of the forefront when it came to leagues as far as addressing social justice issues. So are you surprised that the NBA are doing stuff like this to kind of bring awareness to social injustice?
Not really. I kind of expect that this is, Look, I think that they're going to try to take other steps, more concrete steps as well. Atlanta is turning their arena into a polling station, both for a runoff in August and then for the run up to the primary, the general election in November and stuff. I think they're trying to take some concrete steps, but I'm not surprised that they've done this. That they'll have, they're letting players put names on, Black Lives Matter or whatever they want to put on the back of their jerseys. Spencer Dinwiddie wanted to put trillion for the national debt because he's number 26, and that's about the debt now. There was stuff. So we'll see what it looks like.
We thank you very much for joining us, Kurt. Carry on, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk down the road, and let's keep our fingers crossed that we get to see some games in this bubble, if they can create the bubble. We all have this visual when we were kids of trying to blow the big bubble in the backyard in the summer, and it just doesn't go very far sometimes. Hopefully they can get that big, strong one that hangs out and rises up into the next yard.
Yeah, hopefully they can pull it together. Look, I want to see this. I want to see hockey. As a Kings fan, I'm not sure I want to see them play anymore this year. But hockey I'm like most people out there, man. I miss seeing sports, man.
No question. Kurt, we'll talk to you again soon.
Take care.
All right, that's Kurt Helin from NBCSports.com, NBA writer. When we come back, he referenced it. J.R. Smith is going to be back with LeBron James, for better or worse. We'll go through one of the more infamous moments in recent sports history and definitely in NBA Finals history. Stay tuned. We're coming back here on 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.